chapter 4 and 5 of the Revelation. Two chapters belong together, and we want to read them first. Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Beginning in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and beheld a throne was set. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and pass their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, it was good for us to read this portion together, this fourth and fifth chapter, because the whole is one single beautiful picture. And as chapter one is an introduction to chapters two and three, so chapter four and five is an introduction to chapter six and seven and forward from there. Now, there are actually seven different things that are presented. Let's look at them and note them as we go. In verse two, a throne. Now, as we consider the throne, let me go back and notice something that is very special. Do you recognize that italics are always a linking word, never a significant word, if I may use that word, that phrase, that statement? A door was opened in heaven. The thought is not that at the very moment John was looking, that the door opened. That's not the thought. The thought is that as he looked heavenward, the door was standing open. And this is scriptural because in Hebrews it tells us that our Lord Jesus went to heaven and he is the forerunner who is there on our behalf. He went into heaven. And the wonderful thing about it is that in going into heaven, our Lord left the door open so that the communication with heaven is very real for us today. Very real. Now, there's some other things that we will note in a few moments about this, but just this one special thought as we look at the throne. This door standing open is actually to the throne room of heaven. If we were to use the language of the Apostle Paul, it would be that this is the third heaven. Paul writes and he said, I was caught up to the third heaven and I saw things that were unspeakable. That is, I could not even talk about them. It was unlawful talk about these things. But now John has been invited to come, and he has been commissioned to write about it. And in the Spirit, and this is the same phrase that is used by all of the prophets, that is, this is not a physical vision, this is a spiritual vision. Ezekiel, you remember, is on the river Kibar, away over in Babylon, away across the desert, and in spirit he is carried actually into Jerusalem, and he sees things that are happening in Jerusalem. So his body remains over there, John's body remains down on the Isle of Patmos, but in the spirit he is caught up into heaven, and he sees the throne. Now, this throne is immediately recognized as the throne, the sovereign throne of God. This is the throne of the Creator, sovereign ruler, the Lord God Himself of all time, and He's spoken of as the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Now, the one sitting on the throne is not described. This is a beautiful thought. And the Gospel of John tells us no man has seen God at any time. When we get to the end of the Revelation, we will see Him, because it says His servants see His face. But until then, no one sees the deity. Now, I need to pause for a moment. This is the triune God. We would not say that this is the throne of the Father, but this is the throne of the deity. This, Romans chapter 1, speaks about the Godhead. That is the sovereign triune God. This is the throne of the universe, the eternal throne. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the worlds were made, before there were any mountains, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. That's what Moses sings in Psalms 90. And so there is just a description of the place itself. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, probably the jasper stone is the diamond. And the jasper or the sardine stone would be a blood red stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. This is the second thing that is brought into attention. A rainbow. And now this rainbow circles the throne. And it was like an emerald. So then, we have the throne, and we have these great colors, these deep, significant, sparkling, full-colored, precious stones. And then, verse 4 gives us the third thing that we see about this particular vision. Round about the throne, 24 seats, and upon the seats, 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, a crown of gold means rulership. It means that you have authority. Now, there is a passage over in chapter 1 that will help us to understand it. Look in chapter 1 and verse 6 of the Revelation, and it says, He hath, talking about the Lord Jesus who loved us and washed us from our sins, He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. And then, if you will, in chapter 5, the portion that we just read a few moments ago, and verse 10, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Then the 24 elders. One other thing. 24 is the number of the courses that the priests of the temple were organized into. Luke 1 and 5 tells us that Zacharias, who was standing at the golden altar, was of the course of Abia. He was one of the priests. Now, you'll notice that the Gospels will speak of the high priest, and then it will speak of chief priests. Well, then, each of the 24 courses of priests had a chief. There was a high priest, and then there were 24 chief priests, and each of the 24 were over a course. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles in chapter 24, it will tell us that the priests ministered. Each course would minister 1 week, and because there are 52 weeks in a year, it meant that twice a year that they would minister. Now, there were many priests, but there would only be one chief or elder over the course. Now, sitting around the throne are these 24 elders. We know from what they say in chapter 5 that they are redeemed. We know this. They are redeemed. Now, they could still be angels because the blood of Calvary was efficacious for everything. All the whole universe, heaven, was sanctified by the blood of the cross. Oh yes, all would come under the redemption of Calvary, whether it would be angels or men. But the way it is sung, and the things that are said about them, leads us to feel that here we are looking at the elders of the saints of God, and notice that there is coming a time when they're going to reign on the earth. Now, here they are in representative capacity. In Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, here it is now, and we have the beautiful picture of the representation of the people of God and the anticipation of what is coming. Please remember that the saints of God are priests. All saints of God are priests. But we are not priests in the Old Testament sense of priests. That is, we're not priests of an earthly tabernacle. We are royal priests. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Or as Revelation places it and states it, we are kings and priests unto God and unto the Son of God. Now, the fourth thing that we see, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Now, the scripture speaks about the thunderings as being the voice of God. And the lightnings, in the Psalms, it speaks about the speed with which he does things. It's as the speed of lightning. And the voices. And where do we find the voice of God here on earth? Where is the voice of God here on earth? The book. The book itself is the voice of God. It's called the Word of God. God is speaking to us in His Word. And so, where do the thunderings, the lightnings, and the voices come? Out of the throne. Not from around the throne, but out of the throne itself. In the book of Ezekiel, the living water proceeds out from under the throne. Now, the sixth item is verse 6. Before the throne, a sea of glass, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So now we have two in the one verse, two icons. Look at the sea of glass for a moment. Only a statement is made here, and perhaps we'll just reserve talking about the sea of glass until later, because some special things are said about the sea of glass. So we'll save this until later. Just noting that this is before the throne. Then, in the midst of the throne, still in verse 6, round about the throne, four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. Very little description is given here of these. The word beast is not the same word as found in the 13th chapter. That is an earthly beast, and we might almost translate that an animal. But here, the word beast is a creature, a living creature, but it is a very special creature. In Ezekiel, this creature is called a cherubim. In Isaiah, called a seraphim. Here, called a beast. Now, there are always only four. In Ezekiel, there are only four. Now, the difference between what is said in Ezekiel and what is said here only applies to the wings. But when you look closely at the Ezekiel passage, you find that the living creatures, the cherubim, were in action. And so their wings were outspread and their feet were shown. You would not know about the number of wings from Ezekiel, but here the number is set at six wings, but the feet are not mentioned here. In Ezekiel, both in the first chapter and in the 10th chapter of Ezekiel, these same creatures, and I use that word because this is a creation of God, these same creatures are described. The first, like a lion, that's the same in Ezekiel. The second, like a calf. In Ezekiel, it is called an ox. Same thought. The third, a face of a man. The fourth, like a flying eagle. Now, in Ezekiel, it will simply say they have faces. And each one in Ezekiel has the four faces. And in Ezekiel, they never turn. They always move in a straight line. So it would depend on where a person was positioned to their moving as to which face would be seen. The first time we read about the cherubim is in the book of Genesis and chapter 3. And it said that the Lord placed the cherubim at the east of the garden. And there was a flaming sword, and it was to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, if we were studying Genesis, we would look carefully at that and we would recognize that it does not say to keep away from the tree of life, but to keep open a way to the tree of life. Then we read of the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant with their wings overshadowing the mercy seat. And the Lord said, I will meet you under the wings and over the mercy seat. I will meet you under the wings of the cherubim to forgive your sins and to hear your prayers. So then the cherubim are always associated with God's saving grace. This is God's graciousness toward mankind. So we see in the lightnings and the thunderings and the voices the providence of God, and we see in the cherubim the grace of God at work. Then you will notice that in verse 8 with the six wings and the full of eyes, and this again is as Ezekiel, and it will tell us what they are doing. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Then they have a very, very close relationship to God's throne, to the throne of the deity. In Ezekiel, they actually support this throne. They lift it up and they carry the throne upon which the Lord is. The Lord's throne is carried by the cherubim. That shows how close, and here it says in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. So on the inner circle, here in the Revelation, and the midst, of course, this would be the undergirding, the very foundation. You see, the throne is not something that is settled on some fabric, because it isn't of a physical nature. God is a spirit. And the throne itself then in the heaven of heavens and the cherubim. And Hebrews tells us that the rainbow has to do with God's grace. So this is the most prominent attribute of God, His grace that is shown. Now, the 24 elders in verse 10, at the signal from the four beasts, fall down and worship Him that sat on the throne. Worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Look, Tim, isn't this a hymn that we sing? Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor. I believe that's written up with special music. A little bit on the high, but angelic hymns would always be on a high and glorious level of singing. Three things we need to notice about this song of creation. And the 24 elders are singing this song of creation. And the first one is that there is submission to the deity. Total submission. The second one is there is an obligation. They're there to serve Him. Their authority is delegated authority. And they carry out their instructions. And then the third is to worship. They worship the Lord. And the fourth one is adoration. Now, in the fifth chapter, we come to the reason this vision was given. The throne is there. Others have seen this throne. None of the others have been as detailed in telling us the activity of the throne. And so in chapter 5 we have four things that are emphasized for us. I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book. That's the first one. A book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, if we think of this book as a scroll, and probably we should think of the book in rather than opening as leaves and pages, to be a rolled-up scroll, then the seven seals would take care of seven portions of this book. That is, if one seal were opened, then a portion would be opened up. If another seal was opened, then a further part. Now, in the angel's proclamation, we begin to have a significance of this book. Why this book is so important, first thought is found in the fact that it is on the hand, the right hand of him that sat on the throne. That is the deity and his purpose. We would need to read, if we're going to look at this fully, we need to look read Ephesians chapter 1, and in Ephesians chapter 1 it would explain that God's purpose, and he uses such great words as predestination and words to that of that describe fully the eternal purpose of God. And Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that his eternal purpose was for his own glory, and that he was going to bring to pass his purpose for his own glory. And so, when we come to verse 2, a strong angel, a powerful angel, it's only quoted twice in the Revelation, a powerful angel proclaims, and here's what he proclaims: who is worthy to open the book and loose the seal? Now, why is this great proclamation made? To emphasize two things. One, how important that book is. And two, how worthy will be the one that will open the book, that who will open it. It will set as the achievement of the ages the privilege of taking this book and opening it. And of course, opening it means to administer the purposes that are written in the book. So, I saw a strong angel say, who is worthy? And now look at verse 3. No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Notice it's a man. That is, it cannot be given to angels. It could not be given to the four beasts to open. It can only be given to a man. But there was no man in the whole universe, no man living nor dead, no man who had gone to heaven in spirit, no man who had gone down below in spirit, no man walking on this earth, who was qualified to open the book. John wept because no man was found worthy to open, to read, or even to look at the book. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. The word prevailed means hath won the victory, hath triumphed. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of grace. Notice the book is on or in the right hand, and the Lord sits down on the right hand. That is the hand of power, administrative power. There's a little book written that talks about the identification of the churches. It's called The Trail of Blood. And all the way back to New Testament days, there have been 9, 10, 11 identifications of true churches. That is in doctrine. And one of them, in fact, the first one, is that the Lord Jesus alone is the lawgiver. That we have executive authority, but he alone is the lawgiver. All authority rests in him. And this is what he said. He came and stood and said to his disciples, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is mine. Go ye therefore. So, won the victory. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose, that is, to loosen, to set in motion, to reduce to its constituent parts, to take each part and deal with each part. And that's exactly what an administrator does, to take the law itself and carry it out. And so, verse 6 says, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Daniel and to the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, and notice the picture that is written in prophecy concerning this event. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Sometimes this passage of Scripture is used to talk about the Lord coming, but this is his ascension. And so we're looking in the fifth chapter of the Revelation, and we're seeing the ascended Lord as he ascended up on high. Principalities and powers be made subject to him. And here the picture is made so personal. He won the victory. He triumphed. He picked up the keys of death and of hell. He walks into the throne room. He walks because he has a right to. He walks to the throne, and on the right hand of the deity, he picks up the book. And this is the signal. And see what it is, what it says in verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Before we get away, and this is not incidental, because this is setting the whole rest of the book now. Everything is going to grow out of this that we're looking at right now. All of the prophecy, all of the coming events are going to grow out of this. Look where redeemed people come from. This is how God describes the human family. Every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's how God describes. How God's word describes people. And forever after in the book of the Revelation, this Holy One who comes, this Victor who comes, is going to be called the Lamb. And this is the song of the new creation. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And that's what verse 10 says. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now verse 11 talks about the second stanza, lays the word for the second stanza of the hymn of the new creation. I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This is the second stanza, and who sings it? All the angels of heaven. Hebrews chapter 1 says that the great declaration went forth when he returned to heaven, that all the angels of God worshiped him. The Son, the worthy Son of God who came to our earth, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We're going to have to be there before we can understand how tremendous this is, how all-embracing this is. But we can take it in this way, that when he ascended on high, he took over the reins of government. They were put in his hand. He is the administrator of the throne. And he is reigning now. And 1 Corinthians 15, and we read that a while back when we were studying in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says he will reign until all enemies are destroyed, and the last enemy to be destroyed shall be death. He is going to continue to reign. He is the reigning Lord now. We do not get the picture of in the Revelation of the Lord coming from heaven to be crowned. He went to heaven to be crowned. And it was in heaven that he was crowned. And now, when he comes as the ruler. He is the one who sits on the throne of power and glory. And here's what it says. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. All of these are his. Now this last thought is breathtaking. Notice how it's stated. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the four and 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. The activity of the beast at all is only hinted at here. When we'll come to the activity of the beast, of these four living creatures, when we go into the next passage, here we have the whole of the book set now to present to us the program of redemption. Remember that when he died and his blood was shed on Calvary's cross, that blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven, and all of creation is brought into harmony with God by that blood. All of not mean that the evil is redeemed. No, no. But it is brought into harmony with the purpose of God. His enemies, the Psalm puts it this way, his enemies will lick the dust at his feet. Romans 16 and 20 puts it this way, the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Because of what our Lord and Savior did on the cross of Calvary, because he is the living Lord who was dead and behold he is alive forevermore, because of this, all of creation will be brought into harmony with him. And thought, blessed thought, glorious thought, we will be by his side. Oh, wonderful thought, glorious to know that we, this is in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I will that those thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, what a thought it is. Oh, what a glorious thought it is. We are going to be with him in all of his wonder and glory. God said in Isaiah that because he had done this, his victory is going to be the greatest victory that could ever be known. And the greatest triumph. And people on the day of Pentecost said, we know he's on the throne because he has poured forth this which you now see and hear. So now the whole is set. We are going to see now the things that shall be hereafter because the true administrator of the throne has taken the book. The purpose of God will now be carried out. He does it. He is the one who carries out the purpose of God. When did God's purpose be written? When were they put down? Before the world was. When was it determined that the Lamb should be the Lamb of God before there was any creation? All of this was all said, and now we are seeing that it is now put into motion. And this is where we stand. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts rejoice. We are lifted up to heavenly places in Christ Jesus as we gaze in wonder at our blessed Lord. How wonderful, how glorious, how marvelous, and our song shall ever be. The grace of our God in Christ Jesus, our living Lord. Thank you, Lord, in thy precious name. Amen.